Welcome to Manager Tools, the 15th anniversary show. This cast answers these questions: why should I become a licensee? What is included in a license? And how did Manager Tools get started? If you want to know the answer to that question, keep listening. Here we go. So this is unusual for us, Mark.
Yeah.
This we're gonna talk about ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, we've been doing this for 15 years, so 15 times 50. What is that? 750 weeks of podcasts, roughly, even more, actually. And how many times have we departed from our core process, right? About giving actionable guidance to managers about what to do and how to do it and why to do it.
Probably like once every 5 years, maybe.
So. I think we had a 10th anniversary show. We've done two interviews. We still get emails from people. I think I have a great guest for your show. And I used to write back and say, thank you. But if you'd, you know, perhaps you didn't know this, but we don't take guests on our show. And people actually say, I've been listening and I have a great guest for you. I'm like, dude, if you listen a lot,
you know,
we've done a case study. We've had only a couple of times, maybe 10 times out of 750, have we done something different. But frankly, what I was thinking about as we've spent the last week preparing for our 15th anniversary, which was June 26th, this past Friday, was we share a great deal of guidance, and we don't, other than our own ads, we don't take ads. And I thought, I get a lot of questions about how we started and our new promotion, our licensee promotion, harkens back to our beginning. And I figured I was going to get questions about how the company started because we're mentioning it. We're essentially referring or recurring to it with the licensee promotion we're going to offer in the show. And I thought, okay, we need to do that. I don't want to overwhelm people with ads, but well, we thought we'd do something a little different. I guess it's worth saying, if you're expecting us to give you managerial guidance this week, we're not going to. We've said that twice, maybe three times in our career of the last 15 years. So,
yeah. I don't hear too many click-offs. Okay, so let's get to it. So what's our outline?
Yeah, so first of all, because our licensee promotion includes a similar bonus to when we started 15 years ago, we're going to tell you how Manager Tools got started. Then we're going to tell you about the license promotion to encourage you to become a licensee. If you've been benefiting from our stuff for years, we would suggest that in a cooperative way, now would be a good time to be a license. And then lastly, we want to talk about our change to the license model, where we're going all streaming. We're basically catching up with the rest of the world regarding digital products and economic relationships.
Cool. All right. So let's go to the part that's probably going to be most embarrassing to me. Because folks, if you haven't figured out,
what?
I'm a total geek. And so there'll be my geekiness will certainly come out.
You were the one with the idea for the company.
Yeah. Well, every once in a while. Every 15 years. Once every 15 years.
Come on. Yeah. So, okay, guys. 15 years ago, last Friday, 26 June 2005, we think of as our anniversary. It's not the beginning of when Mike and I started working together, but it is the date that our first podcast was published on iTunes. We had been working on the idea for quite a while, not the idea of podcast, but the idea of starting a management consulting and training company for many, many years.
Yeah, probably like I think we had talked about it for almost 10 years. I mean, like
absolutely.
Years, when we said a while.
Yeah, absolutely. We hadn't really been actively working on it, but we'll talk about that. In fact, Mike and I have joked back and forth, you know, when we check our downloads now and realize we're over a quarter of a billion, we remember checking the log files. Actually, I say we remember. I wouldn't know where a log file is, but Mike checked the log files. I knew they existed, and so I said, hey, how many? And we were thrilled that in a couple of weeks, we had over 100 downloads. And like I said, we're now a quarter of a billion downloads later, all free. And basically, we really believed in what we were doing, serving you, and our community has responded. And I hope it comes across. We were just like you 25 years ago before we started learning how to manage. And when you see companies with great ideas and good people decently dedicated to helping that organization succeed, to help that organization serve society, and to see the friction and the tension and the drama and the conflict that comes out of poor management through no fault of anyone. Look, if you hire a software engineer, you expect her to know software engineering because she's been taught it. She went to school probably, or she has a resume that shows she's done it. If you hire a mechanical engineer to work on your processes on your production line or to figure out maintenance schedules or something like that, the degree they have gives you some sense of belief that they know what you're asking of them. But we promote people to manager and we don't give them hardly anything. I mean, we love Apple here and Apple loves Apple University, but Apple University is as touted as it is, as great as it is, doesn't teach people how to be managers. And we just thought you could benefit from what we knew. So a little bit more background before that. If you haven't heard this story in a cast, and Mike, I don't remember how many times we've told this story, but you know, what I remind myself of now, as big as our audience is how many people are joining us every week.
Right.
I still get the emails from people who say, you know, I'm listening every day and I'm worried that soon I'm going to catch up. You know, I've gone through 700 or 800 casts and I'll need you to speed up your pace of cast delivery because I don't want to go to a weekly podcast. So many of you are new and you've not had a chance, and I don't think we've told this story in as much detail as we are now, but we had been working together for a number of years. Mike said 10 years, and he's right, but in the beginning, it was just discussions. I had my consulting firm. Mike was
I had a real job.
A successful executive at MCI, and he actually became a client of mine. But basically, we have been trying to figure out a way for us to share the management guidance that my previous firm had developed with individual managers. In fact, Mike's people surprised both of us a little bit, as I recall, Mike, when they came to you after I had a few engagements there, and they said, we got to figure out what we can do to spend, you know, to have more time with Mark. It got emotional.
I had managers, a couple, don't overexaggerate, but I had a couple managers come into my office, and these are managers a couple levels down, and they had tears. They had tears in their eyes telling me how much this training made a difference to their life, both at work and at home. And folks, we're not family tools, and we say that all the time. So our guidance is focused on a professional environment. But regardless, these folks felt it made that much of a difference to their lives. And I tell you, I knew the stuff was good. And then I started talking to people more and more. And I think at that point, when it started getting in my head, like, I got to figure out how to help Mark get this in front of more people. And the internet was fairly new at the time, you know. It was fairly new. Right?
Isn't that funny?
The beginnings.
You know, people don't hear that said very much. The internet was fairly new then.
Exactly. Yeah. I was on the internet when I literally had gone to every single website that existed on the internet. So that's how old I am. But in any case, that's when the idea of like, we've got to take this stuff that changes people's lives and get it in front of people.
Yeah. Well, my previous firm, which Mike had hired, had done what every other management consulting and training firm had done, sought out corporate clients. Okay. That's where the money is. But even then, in my firm, my focus wasn't on changing companies. I would tell companies, yes, I can help you achieve that change because that's what they were buying. But our focus was on helping individual managers. We believed back then, I believed, it's just the way I think about the world, is you can't change an organization without changing the people inside it, at least change their behavior to change the outcomes that the organization wants. We believe the way to help companies is to help managers and individual contributors, of course. We don't write books for CEOs, so they'll hire us for multi-million dollar long-term consulting gigs. We write for managers. When I write a podcast, I think about you, the individual manager, because that's who I was. And I remember how bad I was in the beginning and how you might assume that because of the vaunted history of West Point, neither Mike nor I ever claimed to be Eisenhower or MacArthur or Pershing. You might assume, oh yeah, well prepared to be a manager. Nope, not at all. No management training at all. Now, admittedly, the Army, being a lieutenant in the Army, doesn't make you a good, it's not akin to management, but that's what you do. And then at Procter & Gamble and on and on and on. So Mike had another job. This was as we're forming the company. And I had some remaining client relationships when we actually said, okay, we're going to do this. One of those clients, Bearing Point, whose CEO is still a friend of mine, Robin Leinberger. Hello, Robin. And they were the consulting arm of KPMG, was based in D.C., where Mike lived, Northern Virginia. And I would fly there regularly and spend nights working with Mike on what became what you're hearing now, manager tools. Now, Bearing Point was in Tyson's Corner. And so I was booked through their generosity to stay at the Ritz-Carlton in Tyson's Corner, which I still remember had free shoe shine service overnight. And despite that reservation, I spent my nights while I was serving my friends at Bearing Point in Mike's basement.
Yeah, it is a beautiful, beautiful room. That's, by the way, yeah, folks, that's where my kids played their video games during the day, yeah, during the summer.
When I think of that now, it's probably 20 years ago now. I think we must have really, really believed in what we were doing.
Yeah, at least you did. I slept in a bed up in that bedroom.
So, folks, for those of you who don't know, we even actually designed our first logo. And if you're thinking of our logo, that's our second logo, actually. We designed that together on Mike's dining room table. We drew an org chart with a manager box and three boxes underneath for the directs. And we colored in the manager box and left the other boxes empty. It was all white drawing on a blue background. It was basically evocative of a blueprint. And the idea was we wanted to help you design the career you knew you were capable of. Okay, so how do we get into podcasting, which was not the plan? You know what? I can actually say, Mike, we pivoted.
We pivoted.
Stupidest word in the world.
And folks, you thought you weren't going to learn anything about management.
Yeah, exactly. One day, Christmas 2004, right after it, Mike had received an iPod for Christmas. And Mike called me and said, I've got it. Eureka. We're going to do podcasts. And I still remember saying to him, okay, what's a podcast? I didn't even own an iPod at the time. And so I was still flying back and forth. And we did a test in late January of 2005. We went down to Best Buy and we got a USB microphone, plugged it into Mike's laptop. We shared the single microphone. And we just had a conversation about management. And both of us knew 15 minutes in, this is going to work.
Look, dude, you make it sound so much simpler than it was because, folks, if you don't know, I think we've shared it on a podcast before, but there was a real big learning lesson for me when this whole thing happened. Because when I said, we need to do a podcast, Mark forgot. He's a high eye, so he didn't look at the attachment, but in the attachment was a Microsoft project plan that's probably about 20 pages long with
20 pages.
Yeah, it was a very detailed list of all the things, heavily researched, I might add, what we needed to do a podcast. Yeah.
Audio engineers, I showed it
to Mark when he was in Virginia visiting on this momentous occasion. I said, hey, did you read my plan? He goes, actually I said, did you get my plan? He goes, yeah.
Yeah.
So totally. What do you think? Oh, I didn't read it. So no. He pulled it out and he looked at it and he goes like, no, I tell you what we're going to do. let's get rid of this plan. We're going to go down to Best Buy. We're going to buy a microphone, and we're going to sit in front of the microphone and talk and see whether it works.
Let's just do a little proof of concept here before we spend 6 months planning for something that we discover, not so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Of course, then after we recorded and we kind of looked at each other and went, whoa, that was pretty easy. Now, full disclosure, Mike and I have known each other for 40 years. We met at the military academy. We didn't know each other well at the academy, but then we were fortunate enough. It wasn't fortune, it was grades. We both got to serve in Hawaii for our first duty assignment. We served in the same unit, Red Dragons, and we were there when, still to this day, Mike, the greatest leadership transformation experience I've ever seen, and I think you agree. We were assigned to just a not efficient, not effective Army unit whose battalion commander was relieved while I was there before you got there. And a new guy came in, Colonel Ed Texera, who we've mentioned a couple of times over the past 15 years. Colonel Texera came in, Colonel T, short, powerfully built Portuguese Hawaiian, and turned the organization around. We had ringside seats. I was the personnel officer. You were the headquarters battery executive officer. And we literally were there and helped lead in a very, very small way. One of the most impressive turnarounds, at least on that scale, I've ever heard of. We went from being the worst unit in the division to the best unit in the division. I mean, we were the laughingstock of the division. And I would argue at the end, a couple of years later, we might have been one of the very best units in the entire United States Army. And we talked about back then, oh gosh, we have got to figure out a way to have more people experience this. We didn't know. I mean, at that point, this was the early 80s. We didn't know that podcasts would ever exist, but it turns out that technology caught up to the idea. And speaking of old friends, I received a wonderful note on Friday on our anniversary from one of our very first listeners. He's a friend. He's a CEO. He's a community member. He's an M-Conference speaker, Gerhard Gross of Daimler. And he says, Mike, that he remembers seeing, when he went to iTunes, he's looking for management guidance, he remembers seeing only one podcast in our iTunes feed when he found us. Solution, our very first solution to a stalled technical career, which, by the way, harkens to our good friend Mike Swenson, who was the one that had asked me the question, hey, can you make some suggestions for me about where I am in my career and where I can go next?
Yeah, that's going back.
I've been meaning to say this for a while on air, and so I'll say it now. I mentioned pivot, and so much of business and organizational culture vocabulary these days is affected by, is largely influenced by Silicon Valley stories. Pivot comes from Silicon Valley. Everybody's got to pivot. If you haven't pivoted, you're not mature and stupid. But the concept of origin story has been made popular by Silicon Valley startups. But what's interesting about it is, it used to be an origin story for a company is, this is what happened. But actually in Silicon Valley, it's gotten twisted a little bit. It has a modern connotation of a creation myth. That is, it's kind of partially true, and usually it's designed to impress. And they shave off the rough edges and buff it up and make it sound good. And how hard and how smart the founders are and how hard they worked. But I got to tell you guys, I hope we've earned enough of your trust if you've been listening for a while. And if you're somebody like Gerhard or however long you've been listening. Well, there's no creation myth here. This is really what happened, kind of warts and all. Because I think one of the problems with origin stories that come across as creation myths is they make a lot of people think, well, I couldn't do that. I got to tell you, you can. You have to be willing to be miserable for a couple of years, and you're not going to become a billionaire, and you ought to be really passionate about what you're doing. But don't read those stories and think, oh, man, they made a lot of good decisions. because they didn't know they were making good decisions. We didn't know what we were doing. We had never done this before. There's no pattern. There's no rules. You just do what you think is best. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And this idea that, we saw the future. No, they didn't. Nobody sees the future. Anyway, so back to the story. 2 years after that first cast, August 1st, 2007, we started licensing our work to individuals. We wanted to find a way to have an economic, a capitalistic, we make no apologies for that, relationship with the people who are benefiting from our guidance, because if we were able to get paid for it, we could reinvest that money in serving those people who were paying with more products and services and reaching more people, because the mission of this company is every manager effective and every professional productive. And so we started licensing our work to get some capital to be able to afford some expansion. So we sent out an email. I drafted an email. In fact, if you're a member of our community and we have your email address and you get mails from us, you got a mail on Friday with an image of that email that we sent out. Mike found it in the archives. Very impressive, Mike. I'm sure it was in your inbox. It's just maybe, though, 15 years on, it's been read as opposed to unread. And the email went out the night before, late the night of the, the end of July. But when that email went out, it was morning in Europe. So despite hearing for years, guys, that our guidance was U.S.-centric, we don't think it is. We push back on that. Our first three licensees, which we have never shared on air before, were Josephine Murphy from Ireland, Olivero Cresta from Italy, and, wait for it, our own Wendy Lord from the United Kingdom. Josephine, Olivier, and Wendy, thank you for being the first three licensees. Now, our original license product was $180, which is basically $15 a month times 12. We were worried that that seemed a little high. We've always been terrible at pricing here. We know we're terrible at pricing and marketing. We should just hire a bunch of Apple people because they're really good at pricing and they're really good at marketing. We wanted to be sure that that was a reasonable price. So we offered as an incentive for becoming an annual licensee, our $150 interviewing series as a sweetener. And that product had actually been out for a little while and had been very popular. I had been a recruiter for a while and had learned how to be interviewed, and I taught interviewing. And in the beginning, when we first started in 2005, while writing a managerial's cast every week, I would then also write at night the first 20 casts that became the heart of the interviewing series. Now, look, truth be told, we had no idea whether people would sign up for licenses. And the reason for that, guys, is nobody had ever done that before. Think about the podcasting model you're used to. If you listen to a lot of podcasts, how do those podcasts make money? Some of them don't. They're just labors of love, and some of them are fantastically good. But the way most of them make money is advertising. They have a broadcast model. We're going to aggregate customers and get a big enough audience that advertisers will want to pay us to reach those people. For those of you who don't know, several years ago, we tried advertising. We found it operationally annoying, and we didn't make much money, not enough to make material difference in how we ran the company. And we didn't like the fact that there were advertisers involved in our relationship with you, our listeners. We don't believe generally, that's not true. We find that three-party economic systems are inherently flawed. And so heaven forbid an advertiser ask us to change our content. But more importantly, what if you're starting to get ads you don't like from us? And of course, in the relationship we have with the advertising placement company, we have no say in the types of ads we get, unless you're the biggest podcast in the world, unless you're probably Adam Carolla. But look, we didn't know whether people would sign up. And we were scared that we needed some revenue, but it might be a flop. So we basically gave away the store by giving away a $150 product to sell a $180 product. But turns out glad we did, because luckily it worked. And don't underestimate the luck, guys. Over 1,000 people signed up that first month. And I think it's safe to say, Mike, we breathed a sigh of relief. We finally realized that there's an economic model here.
Indeed.
that would support our service to the community. Now, for those of you who have learned about us through a conference attendance or a client engagement, those were not in our plans on day one. I had tired of all the travel I had been doing for 20 years in my previous company. That said, it would be inappropriate for us to not mention in a history review, not give thanks to Eldon Schaefer at the time of a company called Sequest Closures, now Aptar, for persevering and becoming our first client in Mukwonago, Wisconsin. Despite me saying, no, I really don't want to do that. Eldon just insisted, and that's why Eldon is who he is. Now, look, the story continues. We grew. We served more. We needed more help, like our invaluable first hire, Maggie Hessel. And so our costs grew. And Mike told me one day, hey, we need more revenue. We need another revenue source. And I literally said right then and there. And my recollection of this is that Wendy was there, Mike, and I don't know why. And he said one day, let's do a public conference. No, I said, okay, we'll do a public conference. And he said, can we do that? And I said, sure.
Said, well, what would we talk about?
Yeah. I said, well, here's an agenda. And I wrote out the agenda on a scrap of paper. I still have it somewhere. And we did. We did our first conference. Our first effective manager conference was in Washington, D.C. Over 100 people came. We had no idea. No idea. It was 2 days long. It's now, of course, one day. The introductions that we did to start that for 100-plus folks took 3 hours, which completely messed up my agenda. But it was a really important formative experience for the early listeners and fans of the show because they got to meet everybody. And it was like a gigantic block party for the entire 2 days. And they forgave us for the busted agenda. I answered questions that first night of the meeting until midnight. People wouldn't leave the room. There was 80 people in the room until midnight. And the only reason we took a break was there was a cocktail party on the agenda at our first few conferences, which we quickly got rid of because I had to yell to be heard over the noise, and that ruined my voice for day two. Now, look, like I said, this is no creation myth. It's an origin story, so we've made mistakes. We hosted a free job search and interviewing conference in Manhattan during the 2008 economic crisis, and about 20 people showed up.
And renting out a ballroom in the middle Manhattan. Of New York City is not a cheap endeavor.
Look, it was absolutely the right thing to do, but it proved what terrible marketers we were and frankly are. Up until 2008, I wrote all of our guidance. I would write 3 Manager Tools casts each month, and then one of those weeks, the fourth cast, was a career cast. When I realized how many people would need career help during the downturn, I decided we needed career casts every week. We hired Wendy, and Career Tools was born, and we had 2 casts a week for free, and we still do. Over the years, if you didn't know, it's not something we talk about very much. We've earned a lot of awards. We've won the Podcast of the Year award 6 times. 4 times Manager Tools won Best in Business. 1 time Career Tools won Best in Business as well. And 1 year we won the People's Choice Award, their highest award for a topic of management. Go figure. We did so well for so long in that award show. Thanks to you, the business category is now named the Manager Tools Business Category. We swept it for years. So thank you for that. Now, I want to mention one more thing about CAS. And then we'll get to the promotion. We get asked all the time, probably me more than you, Mike, because I'm in the field, but how do you create the casts? How do you do it? And I think that some people are asking about, could I become a podcaster? And the answer is, yes, you could become a podcaster. Of course, the question really is, could you get an audience?
Well, first question is, do you have something to say?
Yeah. Well, the definition of something to say is people are willing to listen.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. But you better really care about what you're saying if you're going to commit to regular discussion. So, look, I would argue that the casts are created before they're ever recorded, and that's in the writing. The vast majority of podcasts are not written in advance, and everyone wants more content out of us. But for every half hour of podcast you hear, it takes me 3 or 4 hours to write the show. The same for Wendy as well. It's not easy. What you hear as a cogent, fairly tight, every once in a while I go tangential, every once in a while Dark Mark comes out, but without the show notes, which licensees get access to, and it's not a transcript, it's a white paper, it reads, you would never have to know that there was ever a verbal show behind the show notes. But really, the show notes make a big difference. But that's not what people ask about. People are like, nah, I'm not going to write. I'm just going to talk. So they want to know about production. So for the record, just like right now, Mike and I have almost never been together to record a cast. Maybe it's been 3 or 4 times. Once we did it live in front of a Silicon Valley conference audience. That was fun. I think there was some clapping, as I recall. And mm-hmm. I don't think
there was.
I don't think Paul cut it out. Right now, I'm at home in Pebble Beach, California. Mike is at home as well. And we use a technique that's fairly standard in the podcast business called double ending. Mike and I are both at home. But and by the way, the same true for CT, Career Tools Recordings. We are now on a Skype phone call, and we've slaved our microphone, our recording microphone, to Skype so that Mike can hear me and vice versa. But in addition, this microphone goes through a preamp, and we use some software called Audio Hijack, and each of us is individually recording our own voice, okay? When we're done, we translate the file from something to MP2. I think it's a WAV file. Is that work out? Yeah, WAV file. And then we compress it. Is that right?
We do.
Compress it. And we upload it to a shared server, an Amazon S3 server. Mike, is that right? Is that where we put
yes.
it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then our magnificent audio engineer, Paul Figiani. I mean, this guy's a miracle worker. Thank you, Paul, for your years of service. Puts everything together. It's fairly straightforward, at least for simple stuff, to marry up 2 sound files that are essentially timing similar and make them 1 sound file. Now, several people have told me this lately, so I'll just say it out loud. Maybe in the Zoom world that we're living in now, we'll do a Zoom call at some point rather than Skype and still be double-ended, and we'll record ourselves. For those of you who actually want to see us talk for the podcast, and we'll have Paul or somebody edit it so you could get a side-by-side video view and so on. Now, here's another thing. Here's a secret that surprises folks when they hear it. If you listen to a 30-minute cast of ours, we have done it every time, but maybe twice, I think, in our history, where we literally lost a recording and had to do it again, or one of us, for some reason, technical glitch, we were not recording at the time. If we're listening to a 30-minute cast of ours, we did it in 1 take, and it took 31 minutes to record. Neither Mike nor I have ever cursed on air. Paul edits almost nothing out of our shows. I cannot remember more than a dozen times over thousands of casts we've recorded, Manager Tools and Career Tools, where I asked to be able to restate something. The reason it sounds like two guys talking, that's exactly how we feel. And we leave the warts in mostly. Paul cleans up a little bit, I think. But basically, folks, what you're hearing is people who love their work, who love the people they're serving, and that's you. We're prepared, and we're trying to do this for your benefit. It's nothing more complicated than that.
Cool.
Enough history. We're going long, Mike. Let's talk about the promotion.
Yeah.
So I mentioned our earliest licensee offer, where we offered the interviewing series, a hugely popular one of our products. So to honor our founding 15 years ago, we're hearkening back to that first licensee offer. If you buy an annual license from us during the next few months, we will give you free of charge our interviewing series, but in addition, our resume workbook, hugely popular, our product First Job Fundamentals, about for those of you who are starting your career, and also the massively long, huge documents that make up our Effective Relationships product. That's 32 podcasts, the show notes of which are 15 to 20 pages long each, which describe how to get along with anybody else using your DISC score. D's with C's, bosses to bosses, bosses to subordinates, subordinates to bosses as well. And we want to honor the people who have been with us before this license, before this promotion. So if you're an existing annual licensee, those products are now available to you for free as part of your license at no additional charge, as a small way of us saying thank you. These additional benefits are on top of maybe the two most important things about the license beyond the access to all of our archival show notes, and that is Roadmap, which runs on our Manager Tools app, and weekly Things I Think. Look, folks, if you're not a licensee, part of the reason for this cast is for us to encourage you to become one. It is a small price to pay, $200 a year, for access to that massive archive and the products we're including in this offer. And frankly, in light of the COVID/governmental lockdown economic climate we're in, we need help from our community of individual listeners. If you've been listening for a few years, recognize that licensee money, we reinvest it, as Mike will talk about when we talk about the streaming model that we're going to. And if you've been listening to years for free, think of this as a pledge drive that maybe it's time to give back to the source. And we promise we will use those funds judiciously to continue to invest in our business to serve you even more and even better.
Yeah, I think that's probably what people may not realize, is that the whole licensing model was developed to fund the development and the costs associated with producing the podcast and producing content to provide value to our members. We're a for-profit company, so I got to be careful how I say this, but its primary intent is not to produce profits for the company. It's to produce and develop the materials that provide value, right? I mean, it's part of, and I can't say it, we're a for-profit company, but at least in our heads, it's kind of money set aside to support the free aspect of our business.
Look, Mike, we don't have to apologize for this. Manager Tools does not exist to make profit. It exists to serve you. The idea that profit is bad is ludicrous. The model we use is an economic model, the capitalistic economic model, and that is, if we do well and serve more people, they will pay us and we will be able to reinvest in serving yet more. The purpose of every company is to serve society, and we need some metrics in order to determine how well we're doing. And we're certainly not profitable right now because of COVID-19. And, you know, you cannot go on forever not being profitable. So we don't apologize for being profit-oriented, because the profit is simply, we don't think about profit. What we think about is you and helping you have a more effective career. It's as simple as that.
Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Okay. So tell us, Mike, about the streaming model change.
Okay. For the record, folks, you need to know that going forward, licensee available products are streaming only. If you've been with us long, you already know that we're committed to increasing the value of a license. If not, why would we spend $300,000 US
investing in Roadmap?
Yeah. Creating our interview creation tool, which, by the way, has produced over 75,000 interviews for managers in our community, and numerous other things that are all part of a license, right? Again, that's kind of what we do with this money. So moving to a model where our material is licensed and available for the duration of the license is kind of the model we're going forward with. And Mark alluded to it earlier, we're just now kind of catching up with how many are doing this in this space. It's the only economic model that works. And I'd probably equate it a little bit to the app stores, right? There's more and more of a move to a licensing model You pay a $2 a month or whatever the cost is for the app. And the reason being is, unlike a book, if you deliver a book, right, you've produced it, you've printed it, you've shipped it, there are no longer any costs associated with maintaining that book.
Yes.
It's in your hands. Great point. It's done. Yeah. The costs are incurred.
And you get it forever.
You can use it forever, and it produces no additional cost, or doesn't create any additional cost for the provider of it. In our model, that's absolutely not true, right? We continue. Part of the license is you get digital materials, and you get more of them every single week, and there's a cost associated with that. And so it's just economically, it's not viable. And that is why we and many others are moving toward a licensing model. And frankly, it also provides the right incentives for both you, the consumer of it, and us, the producer. We're incented now, because we don't incur this long-term tail of costs, to continue to provide additional content and additional materials, different tools, et cetera. And so that's kind of why we're going toward the streaming model, as opposed to you pay, let me just be blunt, the craziest thing, and it's, I think the vast majority of our audience does not do this. They recognize what we're trying to do, and they honor that. But I absolutely have evidence that many people have, for example, knowing that our model, it has been, look, you get a monthly license, you get access to the entire 15 years now of content. People subscribe for a month, they'll pay the $20, and then they will literally go and download everything that we've produced over the last 15 years, make use of it, and then cancel their license. I don't like the word fair, but that's just not fair. That's not respectful of all the people who are supporting this month after month.
It's disrespectful of the relationship.
Yeah. So streaming model essentially means that you'll have the content, you'll have access to the content, but it's not downloadable and storable on your computer. You'll get access to it, and you get access to it on the website or through the Manage Tools app, so you can get access to it whenever you want it, wherever you want, easily.
You're not buying it. You're licensing it for a time-limited period.
That's right.
Yeah. And folks, if you're not a licensee, again, we encourage you to become one, but if you know one, please thank him or her for supporting your free habit and the thousands of growing managers who get to enjoy Manager Tools and Career Tools Cast each week absolutely free.
Yeah. Again, if you can't afford it, and don't feel guilty about using it for free. That's not the message we're sending. It's for you too. And we appreciate those, and you should as well appreciate those who support it and make this such that we can continue to do this.
All right, so we got to summarize, right? Because we thought this would be fast, but I talked too much yet again.
And we don't charge you extra for that, folks.
Yeah, there you go. It's so good. Gosh, let's do a metered cost. This is a longer cast, so it's going to cost more. Oh, gosh. Look, folks, we're thrilled to be able to celebrate 15 years of delivering you management guidance, professional guidance, in a model that we invented. We still don't take third-party ads, because our model, and it's stressed right now, has gotten us this far. We want you to become a licensee, and we're adding several of our products to the normal licensee benefits to motivate you to do so. And we're finally catching up to the rest of the world and switching to a streaming model. Thank you to our entire community for being part of the greatest professional of everyone's life here at Manager Tools. From Mike and I, Maggie, Wendy, Sarah, Kate, Tracy, Alex, Paul, we look forward to many more years of serving you. Mike and I may not be around in 15 more years, but if we're alive, we'll still own the company. But Manager Tools will be serving you. And as some of you have written me lately, serving your children as well as they begin their professional journeys. We got lucky, I think, with our motto, every manager effective, every professional productive. Until that's true in all the world, with your help, we will stay the course for you.
There you go. Couldn't have said it better, my friend. All right, here's to the next 15 years.
15 years. Thanks, partner.
All right, man. Take care. So long, everybody.